Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, the goodness of God. I love your voice, 'cause you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father.
Sing that again. I love your voice.
I love your voice. 'Cause you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend.
Of the goodness of God.
goodness.
Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now.
I give you everything.
Your goodness is running after, is running after.
And Lord, we gather certainly today around Lord Jesus, your great name, the Savior, Lord, of the world, Lord, this season, Lord, where the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world manifest in time and in human history. How remarkable. Lord, minister to us by your Holy Spirit as we're here. You said your Spirit, when he comes, would not speak of himself, but he would take the things that belong to you and reveal those things to our hearts. And Lord Jesus, this day, Lord, our worship here, Lord, our breaking bread and drinking the cup, it's all around you, Lord. Let your Spirit, Lord, beautify those things in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We trust you, Lord, and we pray in your name. Amen. You guys can be seated. And we're going to have the ushers distribute the cup and the bread. And I encourage you, we'll wait, we'll look around, and when we see everyone has received, then we'll look in the scripture, and then we'll partake together. So let's worship as that is passed around. It's easier to receive while you're sitting down. So we'll wait till everything is distributed, then we'll partake together.
Sing before the throne of God above. Thank you. Let's sing the first verse again. Before the throne. O sacred head now wounded.
Scornful leaves around.
Going to look in Luke's gospel. It says, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It was that day, the evening of the 14th of Nisan. In the afternoon, the lambs were to be sacrificed. We know from historians, archaeologists, from the ancient writings of the rabbis and so forth, early the Passover lamb was sacrificed by the father in the family, but as the tabernacle and the temple are established, it fell to the priests. You would bring your lamb to the temple, and the priest there would cut the throat, drain the blood. You were there for all of that. And then would take and skin the animal, pull the skin off, and would take a pomegranate skewer and push it through one shoulder, all the way through the body, out the other shoulder without breaking a bone. And then he could hang the lamb and finish pulling off the skin and so forth. And when that process was done, the priest then would wrap the lamb in the skin, and you would then take that lamb home. By the way, the last person there that day, and there were tens of thousands of lambs, got the nickname Lazy Bones, if you're wondering where that came from. And they would take that lamb then back to where they were gathered, and another pomegranate skewer would be forced down the throat and out the buttocks of the animal, and then the legs would be tied to that vertical, that stick. And the ancient rabbi said tens of thousands of lambs were crucified every Passover. That lamb, the arms then were tied to the stake that went this way, the hind legs were tied to the stake that went the other way, and he was put on the spit and then turned without the skin, that lamb. And that's what's happening. And Jesus and his disciples are sitting around that. And the time had fully come. From the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and all the lambs that were ever slaughtered had come to that day. And Jesus said, knowing that, he said, with desire, I have desired. That word most often translated lust in the New Testament in a negative sense, but it speaks of deep longing. It's visceral, it's desire. And he says, I've desired, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And it's emphatic in the Greek language. I've desired, I've been longing. This has been in my heart. It says he had set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. I've desired to eat, emphatic, this Passover. This was the Passover that the ages had looked forward to. He says, I have desired to eat this Passover. It was the fulfillment of Passover, and it was the last Passover. And he said, I have desired, with desire, this has been deep within me, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The love, of course, that's being expressed is unimaginable. It says, and also he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup. We know this after dinner, saying this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And these two ages are converging. The one where all of the lambs were offered in memorial, but anticipatory. It was a memorial feast looking forward to the coming of the Lamb of God. And then as we move forward, it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, even Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He is our Passover lamb. And we, when we come today to partake of the bread and the cup, we do it looking back at what he's accomplished. And we show forth his death until he comes, is the other part of it as well. So it was this Passover feast that was being fulfilled here remarkably as we look at it. It said this in the book of Exodus. It said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." This is New Year's Day. Now your year, your calendar is going to begin with this Passover feast. "And it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little, the lamb for the lamb, let him and his neighbor then that is next to him come according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep, from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. For I, God says, will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And then it tells us Moses then commanded, according to what God had said. Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said unto them, "Draw out, take unto you a lamb according to your families, and kill of the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it on the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses." So this scene is being fulfilled. It's remarkable there. Of course, the description is that you take the lamb and you kill the lamb, and then you take the blood and you put it on your two door posts and on the lintel, which produced two blood crosses, and the lamb slain in the middle, and his blood was in the lintel. It's called the sapph in Egypt. It was a basin in the door that would keep water from running in, and right there the lamb was slain, and the blood was there, and you had a slain lamb with two crosses on either side. And God says the remarkable thing is you do that, and when I see the blood, I will pass over. You have to understand, they never read the chapter before. They hadn't said, nobody said, "Wait till you see this. This is going to blow your mind." The blood was on the outside. The believers were on the inside. And God said, "When I see the blood," not when you see the blood, not when you appreciate the blood, Not when you understand the significance of the blood. It is solely one thing. The difference between the living and the dead is one thing when I see the blood. This is a father who is sacrificing his own son. And the love that is extended in this is immeasurable. In the ages to come, we'll still be learning. And inside the house, what was that like when they heard the screaming through the land of Egypt? Were the kids saying, you know, were they afraid? Dad, Daddy, what's happening? It's not going to come. How do you know? Because we have the Word of God. And the Word of God has told us that when God sees the blood, he passes over. It's not how much faith do you have, how perfect is your faith. Is your faith the kind of faith making a savior of our faith? It is the blood. We're here to remember that today. When I see the blood, we ask you to examine yourselves before we started today, realizing why we need this. And remarkably, when I see the blood, the difference between life and death, the difference between an Egyptian or an Israelite family, in all of that, the difference is one thing. It is the blood. And he said, when I see that, I will appeal. He doesn't say, you know, when you're perfect. He's not said that anywhere in here. It is something that God is initiating on his end. And the solace that they have and we have today is the Word of God. You know, sometimes we come to take communion, we can have all kinds of thoughts. I got in an argument with somebody, I did something wrong, I think wrong things, I'm selfish, this or that, I blew it last week, or I drank, or, you know, whatever. We can go through these, and there should be fruit in our lives after we're born again and the Spirit of God. But this is not based on our performance. We come to the table, to the broken body and shed blood, knowing that that is solely our hope. That alone is the anchor for our souls. What Christ has done alone is going to get us into heaven. Nothing else. When I see the blood, I will pass over. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he examines our lives, like ancient times in Israel, it says, there God is not man that he should lie, Numbers 23, that he should say something that's not true. And he says, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. In Jacob. I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob, nor perverseness in Israel. He doesn't say it wasn't there. He said, I have not beheld it. It says in Psalm 103, he has not rewarded us according to our iniquities or paid us back according to our sins. 1 John would say this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. He passed over the houses of the Israelites because of the blood of the Lamb. Because he could in no wise lessen the worth of the substitute. If you could do it on yourself, or I could, I wouldn't need a substitute. I need a substitute to die in my place, not just for me, but as me. And my Savior said to me, Joe, no man hath any greater love than this, than that he laid down his life for his friend. And as I partake today and you partake, it's the value, the estimate that God puts on that broken body and shed blood that we're to remember. The value he puts on that enables us to come as his children, his blood-bought sons and daughters. And he has not changed. When I see the blood, I will pass over. So that he could say to us, you are accepted in the beloved. And all through eternity, we will sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So all of Israel of old found their assurance and their security in God's estimate of the blood. Certainly in that God expected them to yield to him. We love him because he first loved us. But it is finally fulfilled here, and it says, when that time finally came, Jesus says, with desire. You have no idea. I desired, like people in the world desire bad things. I've desired this. I've lusted after this. I've wanted this. That I might eat this Passover with you. This Passover. Ages old. Eternity old. This Passover. Before I suffer. And he took the bread. And he gave thanks. He said, this is my body. Broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in like manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the New Testament shed for the remission of sins. And in like manner, do this in remembrance of me. And as we partake today, we want to do this realizing, yes, this is a time we examine ourselves. This is a time, in honesty, we say, Lord, I need your cleansing. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. And the Father in heaven so loved the world that drives us crazy that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe, not perform, believe would have everlasting life. And the Son so loved us, no man hath any greater love than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And the measure of love in this broken bread and in the cup that we're to be remembering and putting our hearts upon is something that Paul again says, in the ages to come, he's going to be revealing the exceeding measure of his grace and his mercy towards us. In the ages. We can't take it all today. But we want what we can have. Amen. We want his Spirit to minister to us what we're able to embrace today. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will take those things that are mine and he will make them real to you because he was offered by the Eternal Spirit. So let's bow our hearts together. Let's pray. Lord, Lord, forgive us in our busyness. Forgive me, Lord. So many things, Lord, go on around us, and there are responsibilities, but then there are things that just pull at us, Lord, and sometimes life, Lord, is like getting pecked to death by a duck, Lord. It just eats us in tiny pieces. And these times, Lord, we're so thankful. You gave us this memorial feast, Lord, to show forth your death. until you come. We're so thankful, Lord, as we bow our hearts today, that it is the Father's estimate of this substitute, of this sacrifice, that can never be lessened, that the worth of it can never be minimized in any way, because the Father gave his only begotten Son with such love. So, Lord, we partake of this bread now, and we do this as you've asked, in remembrance of you, Lord, your broken body, how they brutalized you, how they ripped out your beard, how they scourged you and spit upon you. And you were the Lord of glory. And you gave yourself, Lord, to that because you loved us and because you knew the value that the Father, Lord, would then make active on our behalf. And we partake today, Father in heaven, thanking you for your estimate of this in our lives. Let's partake together. And Father, this cup that we think of old, Lord, of you saying, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Your estimation of this. And we think of Father, your Son saying, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you and to partake of this cup, the new covenant, the remission of sins, and to do it in remembrance of him. And Father, we do. And we partake today, Lord, without hesitation, Lord. You know the enemy will lie to us and make out a list of all our imperfections. But you never said to us, when we fully comprehend, when we understand perfectly, theologically, when our behavior measures up to holiness, you said, when I see the blood. And Father, we know in our hearts you see us partaking now. And Lord Jesus, that we do this in remembrance of you. And Lord, certainly we pray for anyone here, Lord, maybe that's never realized the beauty and the power, Lord, of communion. Lord, we pray for those here that Satan may be condemning, Lord, even making them hesitant to come. Lord, never let their faith be their savior. But Lord Jesus, let all of us see more clearly than ever that you are our savior. And the Father in heaven sees the blood. And it is his estimation of that that we celebrate here today. Let's partake of the cup together.
a redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
Jesus, my Redeemer.
Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, all for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, Jesus, you are mercy. Jesus, you are justice. Jesus, you are worthy, and that is what you are. You died alone to save me. You rose so you could raise me. You did this all to make me a chosen child of God.
Your mercy.
Jesus, you are mercy. Jesus, you are justice. Jesus, you are worthy.
Word.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Into
do this. Let's sing one more song. Let's bow our hearts. Let's pray. Then we'll sing one more song. And when you leave, just say to somebody, aren't you glad that the Father sees the blood? Just, Lord, we settle our hearts. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the assurance that you give to us, Lord. Thank you that you gave us this feast, Lord, this one thing, Lord. You didn't say, remember I walked on the water, or remember I opened the eyes of the blind. You said, remember my body was broken and my blood was shed. And to do this in remembrance of me. And we do, Lord, and thank you so much. And we're so thankful that heaven puts that estimation on your completed work that secures our lives and our eternal destinies. And we're so thankful for that. Let us grow in grace, Lord, and in the knowledge of who you are. We believe we're asking according to your will, and receive this praise now, this last song, as we lift it to you.